Hi guys, so welcome to another episode of the Letters to Single Ladies podcast. Today's episode, I had a chat with my sister, anointed sister and amazing woman of God, Alfina by faith, and we are discussing extended singlehood for mature ladies, women who have encountered divorce, women who are single in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, navigating healing and trusting and hoping in God again. I know that you would find this episode such a blessing to you, especially because at the end, we literally went into a prophetic moment in God. I want you to also do not just listen to the podcast, share the podcast with someone you know, and then make sure you get my new book, Surviving Singlehood, available on Amazon, Okada Books, Smashwords, Kobo Books, and literally many other online sites. So make sure you check the links for getting your own copy of Surviving Singlehood, a Christian fiction novel. So now let's go on to our Letters to Single Ladies podcast for today. Welcome.
Hi, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Letters to Single Ladies podcast. Don't mind me, sis. I'm trying to form DJ.
Thank you.
I'm just welcoming everybody else who's going to be joining later. Thank you, sis. Thank you for doing this. Thank you. Okay. So, guys, this is Sis Alfina by faith. I'm going to let her also introduce herself. And our connection is just one of a God connection that I don't even know where to begin and end from. She lives in the US, and somehow God just caused our lives to cross. And she has an amazing heart. She's a woman of God. She has a heart for doing what the Lord has called her to do. She's working and running in purpose. And then I believe you have a regular job, right? And also still runs a ministry for women and runs, you know, giving time. Just amazing. Sis, I'm going to let you just please introduce yourself to everyone. Meet you.
Well, praise God. Hello, everyone. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor Hepzibah, for having me on. I think you said it correctly. Like, connection is just a God connection. I mean, thank God for the man of God through whom God connected us, but I don't think he even knows that we know each other, so I don't think he knows. He doesn't know. But to God be the glory. Thank God for his life. We honor God for his life and ministry. Amen. Well, as you said, I reside in the US, and I'm originally from Sierra Leone, but I am an adopted Nigerian. Wow. In so many ways, and to God be the glory for that as well. As you rightfully said, I have in the US, we call it a 9-to-5. I have a regular job, a career that I've been doing for 14 years, the same type of work, at the same employer, and same job. Thank God for that. But somewhere in the last 10 to 12 years, God brought something out of me, my hunger for him, my thirst for him, and you know, the personal revival. So long story short, about 4 years ago, he launched what's called the Morning Crew International Christian Fellowship. And it's, as you know, it's international. It's we have about 8 nation chapters now. And it's primarily based upon a broadcast type of ministry, airways, media ministry platform. Started off on Facebook and it has verged to so many different aspects, and one of the greatest things I love about it is that we have an outreach arm that feeds the less fortunate around the world, and as you know, you got to participate in one of them 2 years ago. So that's just me I'm very busy, as you know, and my hands are, you know, blessed. And I'm also a mother of two wonderful children, 18 and 12 years old. Yes.
Wow. So this session is just going to be like a chat session. I want to pick this up from you have a regular job, but then God birthed something out of you. What was that process like? Because I'm thinking there are many singles, you know, this is the Letters to Single Ladies podcast, who may have a regular job, but haven't really begun to walk in this, you know, this child per se, like Isaiah 66 says, that says, when you build, you shall bring forth. They haven't started to bring forth from the inside of them. So I wanted to share on how that journey came to be and how it can be for any single woman who's currently listening and saying, I want to bed forth, I want to bring forth this thing on the inside of me. How can I do this, Sister Athena?
So for me, when that birthing began, I was not a single woman. I think you know a little bit of my background. I was not a single woman. I was actually married when that birthing became, and it was a, I don't want to use the word, it was a bad marriage, but it was a self-led union, you know, in the time of not going, knowing God. So there was a struggle season in that union. And what God had me do, strangely, is that the times where I couldn't sleep, he was speaking to me, and I didn't really know that it was him, kind of like what Samuel went through. And I would just sit up and just be pondering, like I would hear, you know, my name being called in the the deep, you know, as I know now, know, you know, the Holy Spirit just impressing things in my heart. And there was this crazy hunger for reading the Bible. So for that person that is, you know, single, whether single or whether having a hard season, you know, in your life right now, I think that the answer would be that you can discover more of yourself when you go deeper into him that knows the most about you. And in that situation, I was like, I couldn't, I was tired of complaining to everybody around me. I would just go and cry, God, if you exist, you know, help me, save me out of this. I was praying all manners of prayers because I was in so much emotional pain, honestly. And then I would never forget the one night I got up and I was reading, and it was Mark chapter 4. And he just had me with the gift of the writing that he's given me. I would just write. I was writing as if I was preaching. I was writing, and I still have that book today, about 7 pages in a composition book of just expounding on Mark chapter 4. And I tell you, before that day, I had never stood before any Bible study group, any private group, any a mic, nothing. I've never done any of those things. And I was just writing and writing and writing. And he was teaching me about how when the word goes in, ensuring that my heart is not a stony ground, and telling me that when the word goes in the right way, it can bud and bring some things. And just miraculously like that, I just started being hungry. Like he put a hunger in me. And and when my I permitted the hunger to have its work, you know, the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work, that after it you shall be full, wanting nothing. When I permitted the hunger to have its work, like I was hungry and I went where food was. And as he fed me, he also said, as he fed me, he also said, this can help you talk to young ladies. This can help you talk to divorcees. This can help you. And the boldness just came. Nobody encouraged me. Nobody pulled me in. I never attended a Bible school yet. It's just a mysterious, you know, move of God.
That's just, you know, it's like God pulling you, and the first thing that just even comes to mind is how he births amazing things through seasons that we think are dead, or seasons that we think are hard. And God looks at this season and says gold can come out of it. That's so good. So good. So for the person who's, you know, the you think you are in a hard season, or you think, oh, you know, I'm tired of doing the same old faction. And that's God really speaking to you. And if you pick it up from Sister Fina, she's saying, go sit before him and just be like, God, I'm here. And I want to really hear. He's calling you, he's wooing you like Moses. So go sit before him and watch him bet something out of that season.
If I can just add this before you move to the next question, I remember one of the phrases that I tell, you know, when I when I preach on Facebook and I tell the brethren, I remember the nights where I had lost everything. You know, the hard season also included losing property, losing a house, and, you know, downsizing my life and everything. And I remember saying to God one night, crying many nights, and one of my consistent things I would say to him, Lord, I thank you because this is not the end of me. Lord, I thank you because this is not the end of me. And whatever your hard season is, I want to say to you that this is not the end of you. It's not the end of you. And if you tell God that, you know, in believing that truly is not the end of you, he will show you where to begin from that place. Though it looked like a chapter ended, a season ended, you know, a relationship ended, he has more in you, and it's only when you go to him that he can pull that out. And I remember saying that over wet pillows many nights. And what he did was he replaced the person that left, or the relationship that ended, with hunger. Hephzibah, I started buying concordances. I started buying Bibles in many translations. I would just sit myself and study. I didn't know what I was studying for. I never thought of doing a video any day in my life. I was just studying. I was in a church where I was in a choir. So there was never a need to preach. I mean, I didn't get to the mic to begin to share the word. But in my personal life, I was studying. So I want to encourage you, you know, anybody listening, the word of God is life, and you can't be filled with it and remain full with it. You have to empty yourself somewhere.
And it will break forth.
Absolutely.
Because another thing, you were actually working a principle with the words of your mouth.
Exactly.
As you were saying, this is not me. This is not, that was a principle you were working. And the things you were saying was literally coming to life, and we see them today.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing. I want to also take you back to now you are single again after the, like you said, the marriage that was self-led. I want to take you into your process of healing, you know, because in as much as they are young singles in their 20s, in their 30s, they're also secondary, you know, people who have walked through the 20s and 30s before, like you, and something had to happen. They got married and then the marriage is no more. I want to take you through sharing on your healing and how something like that can heal. Because these things are, you know, no matter what, when we go through seasons like that, they are, will I say, tentacles that come into our hearts, like clawing at our hearts. How was your healing journey and process like? And how can someone have that?
Okay. So for me, in the very beginning, I was angry. I was quite angry because my situation involved, you know, people that knew me, people that, you know, you when you have a situation that becomes a blended family, sometimes you wonder, you know, if it's strangers, then okay, strangers, but it included people that you would be surprised, you know, turn your back on you type of situations. And so I had a phase of surprise that, wow, people can be like this, you know. But then God helped me with this grace to be quick to forgive. And I did. I forgave. And as I was telling you, God has helped me to forgive quickly. And my pastor always says, forgive, forget, drop, and let go. And with my ex-husband, it has happened so miraculously. And when I prayed for God to help me to forgive, it made my life easier. It made ministry come quicker. I mean, the flourishing that everybody sees, I don't think that God would permit it if I had a bitter heart against anybody. I forgave. That's my mystery to my healing. I forgave completely. Forgave to the extent that my ex-husband is now remarried. And I remember the first or two times that I met his wife, I approached her and I said, you know, nice to meet you. I want you to know that I have no issues, no qualms, nothing. Like, we are raising this child, you know, together. And if my child's going to be coming to your house, I want to know the woman that's in charge, because this man doesn't know everything about kids, you know. I turned it into a joke, but I was really serious, because I wanted her to know that I was never, like, afraid or anything, or intimidated or anything. Like, listen, we're now, you know, it is what it is at this point, and I have forgiven. And as I speak to you, just 2 days ago, you know, about 2 days ago, my ex had to, you know, he had to have a medical procedure done, and he let my, you know, he let the children know, he let me know, you know, in case of any emergency or anything like that. And as we were talking about it, and as I called him the day of the procedure, I called him to pray with him before he went in. And he called me afterwards to let me know that everything went good. He called me afterwards to let me know the procedure went good. And I'm like, I hope I'm not being a burden, you know. I hope, you know, I'm just making a joke. Like, I hope the missus doesn't, you know, whatever. And he's like, believe it or not, we're friends. And I said, yes, we are.
Wow.
So it has turned into a, God. It has turned into something that the enemy didn't expect it to turn into. It was difficult at first. There were lawyers involved. There was a lot of money spent. There was issues that was deep and ingrained. There could have been opportunity for long-standing anger and malice. But I asked God to help me. I asked God to help me. And so I'm healed because I forgave, and forgave 110%. Yeah.
Wow. That's the key. Wow. And you know, Jesus always talks about this. Jesus always talks about it. He's like, don't go to bed angry. And you know, he's always like, Peter, you have to forgive 7 times 7. Yeah. And there was a kind of like a would I say picture of what really happens when we get roped in offense that came to me at the time. And it was just like a tentacles of like an octopus that sinks into your heart when there's offense, when there's anger, when there's bitterness. And that was just the Holy Spirit showing you the key.
Absolutely. And it worked for me. It worked for me, and it makes me feel so much better. I don't have to, you know, stand and be embarrassed. I don't have to stand and be remembering, you know, what went wrong. I mean, we're talking about 12, 13 years ago. So, I mean, there's no need, you know, to hold on to things that can help you moving forward. I mean, he's been married almost 7 years now, and I'm like the most happiest person, you know, in the world for them, you know. Thank God. I just thank God.
And that's another thing. Past the could have, should have, would have, and just knowing that God has something better in store. But now I've come to the crux, or rather the was the crux maybe of the reason why I wanted to have this time with you, and I felt like you would really be in the best position to speak into it. Something started to me last year. We were at Accra, Ghana, when I was having the kind of like a book launch for Prayers for Your Future Husband book. And I don't know how God did it, but the venue we were using for the event, the owner of the it's a cafe, so it's this really cute cafe at Accra. The owner of the cafe heard us speaking, and you know, at the end of the meeting, she came to me and she was just like, you know, I was working, I had to stop what I was doing to listen to you, because she heard the testimonies I was sharing for prayers for your future husband, how ladies who started praying for their husbands, God would just, you know, work through the prayers and the faith and connect them with their man of God. And she started to speak to me about how she is in her 50s, but she still believes that God has a man for her, you know, and that there are also other ladies, older ladies in single, for whatever reason, maybe through a divorce, or maybe they have never been married, but they are single currently. And number one, there's this issue of some don't feel like they have a place. And I'm just going to share, and I want you to speak to me like the Holy Spirit will just give you words. Number one, some don't feel like they have a place. So they're in church, there's the singles group, but there's more of the 20s and 30s. And they feel like what I have to face is peculiar. And I don't think that there is a space for me, even in church. And number two, there's this deal on, should I still hope in God? Should I still hope in God? Does God really still have a good gift for me? Does he have? And they know that they are not called to be single like the Apostle Paul. You know, this is the marriage is a desire in their heart. But then there's this, when your faith is kind of like, the years are going by. God, are you sure? God, are you sure? And then thirdly, the issue of now the hope is dead. Like, I don't even have faith for this any longer. Just leave me alone. One of the other ladies I met in December, she told me about, you know, she was still, and I began to wonder why God was bringing me in contact with these women. So I met that lady at Accra, Ghana, and then I met another in Lagos, Nigeria in December 2019. And she's like, she even has a friend who, the friend said, you know what, I've stopped going out when they say, do you want to get married? I just go out for my career. I go out for my business. I don't go out for that kind of prayer any longer. So it's like, your hope is dead, you know? So I want to just speak. I'm not going to, whatever the Holy Spirit, I've shared on three issues. It may be more that the Holy Spirit brings out as you start to share, but I want you to speak to this, like speak to this issue. Really.
I thank God because I know that God has, one of the scriptures that was coming to my heart as you were speaking is that he wishes above all things that we will prosper and be in good health, even though our soul prospers. And the first part of that scripture, that we will prosper, I know that, you know, prosperity in terms of the joy of the Lord in our lives is also inclusive with this thing called marriage. And God wants for no man to be alone. You know, we know from Genesis, even from creation, that he understood that with all the wealth that he gave for Adam to oversee, he needed a bone by him. Now, our lives in the modern age have come to a place where things have happened to a lot of people. You all just heard my very personal situations as we started. And so there are many around who are, you know, either divorced or either never been even proposed to in 30s and 40s and 50s. And I want that population of people, if you're hearing me, to understand and believe that hope is not lost. If it is a desire of yours, then God is able to make it happen. And I, you know, like the last woman you mentioned, I got that timidity a while back, sis, where I have it in my heart. And it's a desire, it's a longing. I came to the place, like you said, where healing needed to happen, number one. Number two, I needed to ensure that I searched myself to make sure that if there were areas that I went wrong in that situation, that I would begin a journey with God to fix me in anticipation of what he will do in the future. And that, Lord, if I was an instrument that brought the downfall, then teach me how to ensure that it doesn't reoccur. We stand, a lot of us stand, affliction shall not arise a second time. But very well, affliction oftentimes can come by our own hands. The Bible says a wise woman builds her home. And if that wisdom is lacking when I ran into something in my 20s, Lord, may I have the wisdom in the fullest now in my 40s, so that when you do bless me, I will not with my own hands or with my own mouth bring down the blessing of God. Another mistake that women may have made in the past, and also speaking, this one is particular to myself, is that issue of loving the gift more than the giver. Is that issue of complaining to others more than to the giver. And when we miss little character flaws in us, oftentimes it's not always the other person's fault. So what am I saying? Number one, heal yourself. Number two, learn about yourself from that issue. Because I can't have a hope in God, but I'm hoping, and when he blesses me, I take the same errored person into the new blessing. So in the time of my waiting, in the time of my, it's like the new wine going into old wine skin. I need to correct errors within, or mentally, or errors of doctrine or behaviors. Many of us are stuck on cultural errors that we believe it must be like this. But in the kingdom of God, who we say we are in, there are some requirements, submission for one. So learn the ways of God about this topic while you are waiting. So don't wait carelessly. Don't wait just like, okay, don't wait with your list. Wait and understand that even with my so-called list, which I don't agree with having list, but even with my so-called list in hand, the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And the Lord clicked my heart many years ago that, daughter, you must be found as a good thing.
Yes. So
How
yes,
am
wow.
I?
Last
Yes, so woman of
year.
God, in your 40s, in your 50s, we're mature. Yes, maturity is a good thing, but there are other aspects that define a good thing that unless I have it, he can find me and still make a mistake. God forbid that we are found, we are found as a mistake again to somebody else. It's not possible. So what keeps that anticipation for me is that, Lord, I'm waiting and I'm not discouraged at the time. I've been waiting now 10 years. I'm not discouraged at the time, at the length of time that I've been waiting, but in the wait, my anticipation is built up because I'm excited about how I'm preparing myself to be a good thing, making sure that I arise early to feed my home, making sure that I go out and to the merchant ships. We know our Proverbs 31, right? Making sure that I'm speaking the word over myself, ensuring that I am truly found a crown to my husband, still praying for him while I don't know who he is, still, reading. Sister Hepzibah has a wonderful book that, I take that book with me. I went to Israel. I took that book with me to the Wailing Wall, praying for my future husband. I don't know what he looks like, you understand? But my anticipation is jerked up, is enticed even the more while I am waiting, because my waiting is a waiting of preparing me. And so I was in that place with that auntie that didn't want to come out when they called for that because I'm embarrassed. Now, mind you, I don't think I look my age, but I know my age.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
I
So,
was
when
surprised when
I step out, and people are looking like, it can feel embarrassing. But I also know that there is power in agreement. And as you are led by the Spirit of God, we should not be ashamed to declare that this is my desire, this is my hope. Because oftentimes God will place us in certain situations where your private desires need to be agreed with by a voice or an ear that hears him. And that may just be the binding that you need to cause that miracle to happen. So I'm not ashamed that God, I believe in you for divine settlement. I believe it. Now there are doctrines that say why or why a person must not remarry. There are doctrines that say that, the old spouse must be dead. But in my case, I look at it like this: he's not available, he's married. You understand? Like he, so God that knows me and knows what he wants for me has to do his best for me. And my overall encouragement to myself before anybody else is that in my waiting, I am making sure that I'm sharpening, dotting the I's, crossing the T's of myself. So hope. Yes, go ahead.
I'm blown away because this is like saying it's not the age in the waiting, but the wisdom of God you are receiving for yourself as a wife in the waiting. And it takes honesty, and it takes being sincere with God. Was I really
In the
even
first place,
ready if you had done this like 10 years ago? I remember last year I went for a retreat that I keep talking about that retreat because my entire life was just turned upside down by God. I was praying Isaiah 62 scripture, which is a scripture by which he renamed me. And there's a part in that scripture that says, "Is your land shall be married." And the Lord said to me, he said, "Pray for me to give you the heart of a wife. You do not yet have the heart of a wife." I'm like, I'm praying. Prior to that time, I had never heard. Is there something called the heart of a wife? I was like, yes, like there is the heart of a wife. There's the heart of a woman who's willing to serve her husband, serve his vision, like Rebecca, to serve what God has given to him, like Eve. And God was just really, and I had to be sincere with him. So he was like, "You don't have this yet. Ask me to give it to you." So it's just that's why I'm blown away by what you are saying. Because it's just exactly what he had said to me. In the waiting.
Make use of your waiting, and also, as he did with me in the waiting, he would. I believe God has something so magnificent for, those waiting in him, waiting in him, waiting in God. It's different rather than waiting on him to come and do it. I'm waiting in him, and in that in him, he will birth you a purpose. And I believe that the reason why, while I'm waiting in him, he has breathed a purpose that I never thought would ever happen to me. I used to be a Muslim. I come from a polygamous background. There's so many things that you would have never thought that this would be the Alfina in 2020. And she has budded and come out. She has been renamed Abula Hephzibah, like you were referring to from that scripture in Isaiah, because she's waiting in him. And I believe that what he has created with the woman that's waiting in him is a mirror of need that she will meet in the man that she will send. So that means there's something about him that is coming that can only be lured to the woman that he has now created because I was waiting in him. I would not be valid for my future husband as the former Muslim that I was, or as the former fornicator that I was, or as the former cigarette smoker that I was. Because I have waited in God, he has built a woman of God to the glory of God. He has built a Hephzibah. He has built somebody, a Beulah, that is no longer called barren, no longer desolate, right? And because he has built her, he has now made her valid for his son, his son, his son.
Wow.
Praise God. So I believe that. So that means that in your waiting, take your purpose seriously. I never one day look at God. I can't preach. I can't preach in morning crew today. You know, I can't give them my 100 because I miss my husband. I need my husband. I can't go and feed the homeless because I rather be in bed with my spouse. I can't, you know, I don't limit what he has given to me because of the need that I still have. Because I've convinced myself from scripture examples and from testimonies in the lives of people I know, I see that God has answered this same prayer point for. I've convinced myself that is when I give my 500% in him, that's when miraculously in that assignment, he will send the breakthrough. Exactly. So I don't limit. I don't pity myself. I'm not sad. Like, oh God, yet my enemy wants me sometimes. Like, oh God, when is he coming? You know, I don't pity myself. I get up every day. You know, one of the things that he's been working on me with personally is like, you know, cooking. I'm not really that big of a, you know, I don't really enjoy it very much. But he'll get up and like cook as if you are presenting it to your honey that has to eat it for dinner. You know, clean as if he's coming home from work and he needs the place tidy. So everything is in the perception of he's around. He's around. You know, minister as if he's alongside you, you know. It's imperative that we don't limit purpose because we have this great need. God knows the need. God knows the need, and he desires that we prosper even in that area.
This is not a prayer call, but I can actually feel tongues rumbling on the inside of me, almost like a prophetic bed right here. Amen. Wow. I have a scripture here. I'm just going to read it out. And I really want us, because I feel, I want us to close with prayer. So I'm going to ask you to pray. And then I'm also going to pray and just make whatever decrees and that the Lord gives to you. It says in Isaiah 54, verse 4, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who..." Like you said, God really has amazing things for the one who waits for him. And the one who's waiting, right? It's not really the passage of the time. It's the passage of the how, the how. The how in the time, the how in the time. Are you in God in the time? Are you in God in the time? Are you preparing, like Sister Afina said? Are you walking and running in your purpose? Because when God measures time, he's not really measuring the light of how old you are. He's measuring the light of your assignment. He's measuring the light of that thing you birthed forth. What are you currently doing with it? You know, it's a whole lot of things, and I really pray, you know, that God has given you ears to hear more than what even Sister Fina has even spoken. I pray that even as you listen, I pray that The Holy Spirit will continue this conversation with you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that hope and faith rises in the heart of your people. I pray that today would be, whenever anyone listens to this podcast, today will be the beginning of a new day for the older singles, for the mature singles, even for the younger ones like me who have some loopholes, who are not ready yet, who you've been trying to work on their hearts, work on their actions, work on their attitudes, work on their behaviors. I pray that you would point out the areas that we need to wait, work on, and wait right by working on in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Fina, please, I just need to pray and just declare as the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. So on our platform, we have been doing some confessions, believing God with his word in the area of confessions. Mm-hmm. And I asked everybody to write down and the different topics, just literally write them down in a first person point of view. And I want to use them as a prayer point for somebody today that is listening. We're talking to mature singles and even our younger sisters who are believing in God for this. I want to encourage us to know that there is power in prayer. There's power in confession. And more than anything, I think if we would title this today, it would be waiting in God, or, you know, what to expect while you wait. We have to remember that it matters how I wait. I don't want to repeat everything you just said, but it matters how we wait. And I think that if you are to leave this broadcast with anything, leave with that it matters how I wait. Praise God. And we're not allowing the enemy to discourage us or make us feel less than those who are married, because we are waiting in anticipation of the faithfulness of God. He cannot lie. And so some of these scriptures that we've already referred to, Isaiah chapter 62 verse 4, I'm going to just declare them over us. The Bible says in Numbers 14 and 28 that which he hears us say is what he will do unto us. And so we are going to look at just three scriptures, and then I'll make the declaration. Isaiah chapter 62 verse 4 says, "You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, amen. For the Lord delights in you, amen. And your land shall be married." Amen. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 10 to 11 says this, "Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, of which you say it is desolate without a man or beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without a man, without habitation, without beast. You shall hear in that place the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice and the noise of the bride, and the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as the first." Hallelujah. Judges chapter 19 Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, "Then her husband arose and went after her and speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him." There's another scripture which I don't have open in the book of Exodus that spoke about the midwives, and he said, "Because the midwives feared God, the Lord gave them their own home."
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to encourage us as women of God to live in the fear of God. So we're going to declare declarations in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you even now that surely you are a prayer answering God. For the hearer, O God, you know the desire of their heart regarding their divine settlement, and you know that only you can do this. So I declare over the life of every hearer that the sound of rejoicing concerning our marriages is heard in the nations. I declare that we are Hephzibahs and Beulahs. The Lord delights in us, and we are married. No more shall your daughter be called forsaken or desolate. Your daughter is settled in her own family with her own husband and children. Your daughters are joined together with their husbands, and nothing shall put them asunder what you have put together. Because she fears God, you have given her her own family. In the name of Jesus. She's a prudent wife. She's a crown to her husband. Her husband finds a good thing when he finds her. Her husband, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a blessing to her and to her seed in Jesus' name. For surely he is known with honor at the city gates. And she is good to him all the days of his life. She shall lack no good thing. She shall not lack her mate. She shall remain holy for him, waiting to consummate with him and no other. Concerning the marital destiny of your daughter, Father, we thank you because every crooked path has been made straight by your mighty hand in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you have divinely connected your daughter with her bone and her flesh in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you because none under the sound of my voice is looking for a man, but rather preparing to be found and doing everything possible to ensure that we are found as great things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that he arose early and he went to speak kindly to her. And when she brought him into her home, all was glad to meet him. Lord, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that many shall gather to rejoice at the fullness of time when you answer this prayer for your children. I pray, Lord, for every woman, every wife, future wife, under the sound of my voice, that we are virtuous women, that our hands are hands that we lay upon spindle, upon distaff, and we are a blessing to our home. We stretch our hands to the poor. We reach our hands to the needy. We are not afraid of the snow concerning our household. According to Proverbs 31, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we make fine linen, we sell them, we deliver girdles unto merchants. Strength and honor are our clothing. We rejoice in time to come. We open our mouths with wisdom. Our tongues are the laws of kindness. We look well in the ways of our household. We do not eat the bread of idleness. In the name of Jesus, our children arise and call us blessed. Our husbands arise and they call us blessed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our husband shall confess that many daughters, many women have done virtuously, they have done good things, but the one that is our own will declare that we exceed them all in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because as your word has said to us in Proverbs chapter 31, that favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but the woman that fears you, she shall be praised. In the lips of her husband, they shall thank God for us in their lives through you in Jesus' name. We shall not be fooled by the deception of favor. We shall not be fooled by the deception of vanity, but surely we shall be prepared spiritually and mentally. We shall be prepared, Lord, by you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We ask, oh God, for the divine preparation that only you can give to your daughters. I ask, oh God, in this season that you help her forgive every hurt of the past in the name of Jesus. For the one that unforgiveness is still hindering your blessing, I pray in Jesus' name that today, grace to forgive, receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more rising up to self-defense. No more rising up to self-defense. That leave the battle into the hand of the Lord. And the one that will heal your heart will also bring you your good thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for hunger for you more than ever before. I know that the woman that will listen to this is a woman that is in the fear of God. I know because because of the ministry that you have given to your daughter, that the women that will listen to this are in God already, that they are hungering for God already. So I pray, Lord, that this has come as a reminder that we must not turn our back on you. This has come as a reminder that our answer and our breakthrough is because we wait in you. So Lord, thank you for reminding your daughter today that, Lord, the answer is in you and you alone. So therefore, no temptation will turn us away from you. No haste of man will turn us away from you. No looking at the clock will turn us away from you. But in you, we will stand and we will stand, Lord, waiting on you. Thank you for the zeal to conquer temptations. Thank you because the zeal to conquer, the strength by the Holy Spirit to say no to things that will taint our testimonies. Thank you for dressing us, oh God, in your purity, even now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you because we hunger and thirst, not just for righteousness, but for holiness, but for purity and for the truth of God. We give you praise, for surely testimony shall abound concerning every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Congratulations, women of God. Congratulations, congratulations. Hallelujah. Bless the name of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you, sis. This is almost like having, I'm not joking, I literally feel tongues rumbling in my tummy as it's almost like deep drawing, not too deep. And I believe God has just done an amazing and here. Thank you Hallelujah. So much for making that time. God bless
you. Thank you for having me. God bless your ministry, the work of your hands. God bless you. You are a great inspiration to me. You have no idea. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, this is my little sister, but she's a mighty Deborah in the hands of God. May God continue to use you. May God continue to show you. You are a woman of mysteries, girl. I really admire you, I'm telling you. So God be the glory. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sis. Okay, guys, we are signing up, but I'm going to also Sister Alfina's email in the bio, in the description of this podcast. So if you need to reach her or reach any one of us, we'll be glad to speak with you. I feel like there may be women who would bet something as a result of this podcast. It's like things are literally going to come out from within them that the Lord wants them to do. So we'll put our details, accountability, anything. Feel free to reach us. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sis. Bye.